Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
When God has cut a covenant with man, that promise from God is not based on something that we have to do in order to receive that. The covenant is something that God is going to do whether we act correctly toward that covenant or not.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Corey, and welcome, truth seekers, to another moment with Truth Infusion Ministries. My name is David Markham, and this is Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of our ministry. We're excited about what God's doing in the broadcast aspect of Truth Infusion Ministry here lately. And some of you may be aware of this, but I've gotten a chance to do something a little different with the radio ministry, the broadcasting aspect of what we do. And God has opened up an avenue and a door for a different kind of radio program than the one you're listening to right now. Some of you may realize this, or you may not, but the truth is, these shows that you're listening to, Truth Infusion with David Markham, is a pre-recorded program, and we have the broadcast studios that we record these shows on, and then these programs get sent out all over the place, several stations, and then through the internet all around the world. But I will often come into the studio here and record several shows in a row, perhaps even a whole series of programs. And then these shows get sent out as God directs them, different stations and what have you. But there is a different aspect of something brand new, and I'm reporting this to you guys as you listen because I'm also excited about it. But there's a radio station in Cass County, Texas, around the Atlanta and the Queen City area of Northeast Texas, and they have a radio station and covers most of Cass County there. We got a chance through the KPYN family there to start a brand new program that's called Prayer Request Friday. Now, Prayer Request Friday is different than the show you're listening to now because it is a live program. And Prayer Request Friday, we come into the studio there in right outside of Atlanta, and we get a chance to get on the radio live with listeners, and we spend some time in the Bible doing some teaching, whatever God's put on the heart of the host via Truth Infusion that day. It may be myself or Chuck or Kelly, Brother Todd, Brother Corey. Some of you are familiar with them through the program, and some of the other guys that we've asked to come along with us. And depending on who's hosting that day, they'll do some time teaching there in the studio. But the lines are always open for callers, and people call in with prayer requests or praise reports and give us a chance to minister to them. And we do it live on the air, which is a really amazing opportunity for us. And we're just extremely thrilled and praise God for that as a new opportunity. Now, some of you may be asking, why are you telling me this, David? I'm listening to this in another state, in another country. A Truth Infusion program is listened to all around the world. And here's what I want you to know. You don't have to be in Cass County, Northeast Texas, Atlanta, or Queen City, Texas, to listen to Prayer Request Friday with Truth Infusion Ministries, because you can go to kpyn.net. That's kpyn.net. That is their radio station home website. And you can live stream the program on Friday, every Friday from 10 to 11 o'clock Central Time, 10 to 11 o'clock Central Time. You can stream that show live. And even if you're not in the listening area where the radio waves will reach you, the amazing venue of the internet will allow you to be a part of that. And we hope that you will, because God is really doing some neat things through that. So thank you, Bob and Michael DelGiorno, the DelGiorno family that owns KPYN, for bringing us in and believing in us and allowing us an opportunity to do that. And just want to say a quick prayer as we get started. We're going to start a brand new teaching series today that has been a thrill for me. I'm going to introduce this today and kind of tell you what it's about and give you an introduction and a look at what God has been teaching me personally over these last few weeks. I know it's going to be a blessing to you because it has lit me up. Very excited about a teaching today. We're going to start that I've entitled Living in Psalm 91. Living in Psalm 91. And obviously it's going to be a walk through this 91st Psalm, and I'll explain to you what I mean by living in Psalm 91. But let's pray about this first. Heavenly Father, we invite you into the studio just now. God, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, my Savior, that you would take control of this time, this teaching. Lord, I do want you to minister to your people, these listeners, this word, this message, the same way that you've given it to me. And it has just been huge for me, God, as you knew what I needed in the time that I'm going through. And it's been so big for me. And Lord, I want it to reach out to those that are listening around the world and touch and bless them with the power of your promises and what you want to do for us through this fantastic psalm. So Lord, send your Holy Spirit to be the teacher and the leader and the guide in this moment, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I've often said in the past, if you've been a part of our shows in the past, that some of the best teaching and the best sermons, for sure, that I ever preach are the ones that God gives me that are based on what I'm going through in my life. Some people have the concept that if you're a preacher or a ministry leader or someone that's got a vocal position in the church and you're up in front of folks preaching or teaching or whatever the case, that somehow maybe you've got enough understanding of the Bible that life just isn't as hard for you. I want you to know that is just not the truth. Everybody has to deal with this thing called life. We are all in the process of learning how to be more like Jesus so that we can operate successfully and victoriously in the life that we are living and that we have been called to live. Now, we are to be in this world. We're just not supposed to live like the world, right? To be in the world but not of the world, that's what the Word says. So I want you to know that I go through times in life of difficulty, of confusing times, painful times, times that, I just am praying those prayers of, Lord, I don't know exactly what all's going on, but I'm ready to get out of here. Remove me from this difficulty. Times where you pray the prayers where you really are crying out to God. And seems like as God gave me this teaching and this understanding of Psalm 91, it was in these type of moments in my personal life. And not going to go into the details of what we were, my family, going through in this time, but I really have been spending time just trying to figure out where was God in some of the things that we were dealing with, and I've been personally struggling, so trying to find God in my personal life as far as how He could better affect my mental approach to life, my emotional approach to the circumstances, and just felt like I was going under and drowning in some of the trial that I've been going through. And through these times, boy, we really start to seek God in His Word. We start to pray with more earnest prayers and seeking the Lord for a real touch of His Spirit in these moments. And I find that it's these times that God opens up His Word to me in a special way. Guys, when we get desperate to hear from God, it's not that God is more willing to speak to us in those moments. It's just that we're at a place where we're more willing to listen. And that's a big point to hear. Sometimes it takes the desperate moments to bring us to a place not where God is more ready, but where we are more ready. And we're willing to hear that which He has been desiring to share with us and to put on us perhaps for some time now. And so I've been in that place, and God has been really teaching me a lot of things in the last few weeks. But specifically and most recently and very powerfully, thank you, Lord, this teaching out of Psalm 91. living in Psalm 91. So I want to just give you this introduction today to kind of show you what this teaching is going to be about as we walk through what God has shown me in these next maybe two or three radio programs. And as we start this, just want you to know that if you go to truthinfusion.com during the week, if you miss this or you come into this show halfway through it or what have you, you can go to truthinfusionministries.com. Let me say that again. Truthinfusion.com is the website. Truthinfusion.com, and all of our radio programs are archived there. You can listen to all of it for free. We're going to start looking at Psalm 91, and I want to read today primarily the first verse, and then I want to talk about it a little bit. The first verse is one that you may have some familiarity with. Here's what it says. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Short little verse. I want to read that again. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I heard a preacher tell a story the other day about a man named Jack. I'm going to try to relate this story to you because it kind of illustrates where I want to start with in this new series. Story about Jack kind of goes like this. Jack was out hiking one day, and he was in some beautiful countryside. He was up on a ledge high up in the air, and he's walking along this cliff, so to speak, and just enjoying creation and nature. And it happens that Jack gets a little bit too close to the edge as he's walking, and the rocks give way, and the next thing he knows, he's falling. And he falls 10 feet, 20 feet, 30 feet, 40 feet. He's falling straight down, and he's just flailing with his arms, and it just so happens to pass a place in the side of the rock where a branch is sticking out. Now, Jack just swings his arm in time and grabs a hold of that branch, and there he's hanging, suspended between the top of the cliff, the safe place he was once at, and this big drop. He looks up. He's got 40 or 50 feet of sheer rock. He's not going to be able to climb. And he looks down, and he's got a 1,000-foot drop underneath him, and Jack is in a tough spot. So he does what anybody in that case, in that position, is going to do. He starts yelling, "Help! Help! Is anyone up there? Help! Is anyone up there?" And he yells, and he holds on, and he yells for help, and he holds on, and he begins to realize he's not going to be able to hold on much longer. And he's yelling, "Help! Is there anyone up there?" Finally, Jack hears a response. "Jack, I see you." And Jack looks up and he looks around and he says, "Who are you? I can't see you." He's frantic. He's panicking. And the voice comes back and says, "Jack, it's God. It's me. I'm everywhere and I see you." And he says, "God? You mean the Lord God?" God says, "Yes, Jack, it's me. I'm here." Jack begins to talk to the Lord, you know, and he's praying a prayer. He's talking to God sometimes like we do in those type of situations. He says, "Oh, God, if you'll just help me, I promise I'll be a better person, and I'm going to stop my bad ways, and I'm going to start going to church, and I'm going to start tithing." And God says, wait a minute, Jack, listen, let's don't worry about all that right now. Let's worry about getting you down from there. We'll talk about that stuff later." And Jack responds, "Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Just tell me what to do. I'll do it." And God said, "Okay, here's what I want you to do, Jack. I want you to let go." Jack said, "You want me to do what?" He said, "Trust me. I want you to let go." To which Jack replies, "Help! Is there anybody else up there?" Interesting, isn't it? That in the moments where we we need God the most, and we hear from God, and he's expecting us to act so that he can do what we need him to do. In other words, we're needing that promise from God like never before. And God's saying, "Okay, I've got a promise that I'm going to do this for you. I'm ready to help you out. Here's what I want you to do." We all want God's blessing. We all want his benefits. Like Jack, we want the promise of his help. But sometimes, like Jack, we don't like when the help of God comes with the conditions that we're not really interested in having to fulfill. We want God to give us his best. We want God to help us, yes, but we don't want to have to do it with preordained
prerequisites. Here's what I want you to know. Most, if not all, of God's promises to our lives, most of, if not all, of God's promises in the Word of God come with a requirement that we must fulfill first in order to receive the promise. Let me say it a different way. There are conditions that must be met in order to receive most of the promises in the Word of God. Now, there are some things that God has said He's going to do, that He is going to do whether we do anything or not. And most of the time, these promises fall under what the Bible calls a covenant. When God has cut a covenant with man, that promise from God is not based on something that we have to do in order to receive that. The covenant is something that God is going to do whether we act correctly toward that covenant or not. He cut covenant with Abraham, and He said, Abraham, I'm going to make out of you a great nation. I'm going to give you a promised son. Now, Abraham had Isaac, but the promised son was going to, in fact, be Jesus. Now, God was going to do that with and through Abraham, whether or not Abraham did everything perfect and right or not. Let me give you another example. God gives David a covenant. God promises to David that through his line, the King of Kings would come. The Davidic covenant was that Jesus would come through David's line. Now, David messed up royally, no pun intended. He did horrible things and committed great sin, but that did not stop God's promise to David that through him would come the King of Kings. So God's covenant promises are going to take place whether we act correctly or not. However, there are many, many, many promises in the Word of God. They are more relational promises. And in the relational promises in the Word, if we will act in a certain way or if we will fulfill a condition, then these promises that are always available, now that's important, become accessible. That's big for this teaching about living in Psalm 91. I'll explain why in just a minute, but let me repeat that point. The relational promises of God, the promises that are based on relationship, they are always available. If God has made the promise, and you can find it in the Word, that promise to you, as long as you are a Christian, is always available to you, but it must be accessed by us first meeting a condition or a requirement that opens the door to that promise. Let me give you an illustration about this. I lived for about 2 years, working at a place called Heartlight Ministries. Now, at Heartlight, this was a home for residential home for teens. Now, kids would come that were struggling with all manner of problems in their home life and their personal life, and family was just at their wits' end, and these kids were tearing themselves apart, and they would go to Heartlight, a faith-based ministry to kind of help turn the lives of these kiddos around. I worked in a home that would hold up to 15 teenage boys. Now, it was a very challenging place. There was a pantry off the kitchen in that home full of food. Now, here's what we know about teenage boys. They can eat and eat and eat. And when they get through eating, they're usually hungry and want to eat. And here's what we had to do to the pantry at the home I worked at Heartlight. We had to keep that thing locked. We had to keep it locked. Because if we did not keep it locked, these guys would be in and out of the pantry all day long, and we would constantly be going to the grocery store to restock the pantry. So we kept it locked, and the staff had a key. I had a key to the door. Inside the door of the pantry was all kinds of food. Now, here's what I want you to know. The food in the pantry was always available to be eaten, but you had to have a key to open the door to access the food. It was always there. It was in the house. Nobody was going to go hungry. Everybody had food available to them, but it had to be accessed by the key to get into the pantry to get to the food. The promises of God are often like that. Our responsibility through the relationship of God and through His Word is to figure out what's the key that opens the door that gives us access to the promises that are always available. Here's what I want you to know. Psalm 91 is just stocked full like that pantry, full of promises. It is full. You've got to go read it. If you want to take part in this teaching series, you have got to go and spend some time looking and reading through Psalm 91. Now, here's what I want you to know. 16 verses. I timed myself reading it the other day. It took me a minute and 45 seconds to take my time and read through this psalm. It's not hard to get through. You can read it easily, and you ought to spend some time reading it over and over and over with the concept of looking for and reading the promises. Arguably there are at least 25 different promises within 16 verses of Scripture. All of them available all the time. 16 verses, at least 25 promises, maybe more. We could discuss that, and some promises you may say, well, that's actually two promises in one, and you may be right. At least 25 promises inside. And I'm not talking about just peripheral stuff. I'm talking about fantastic, cut and dry, from God to you type of promises. Let me just give you a few of the 25 fantastic promises in Psalm 91. Here's a few. I will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. I will deliver you from the perilous pestilence. Here's another one. His truth will be your shield and buckler. Listen to this. You will not fear the terror by night. You will not fear the arrows that fly by day. You will not fear the pestilence that walks in darkness or the destruction at noonday. How about this one right here? No evil shall befall you. How many of you would like to have that promise? Listen to this one. I will give my angels watch over you. How about this? No plague will come near your dwelling or near your tent or near your home. Amen. Here's a fantastic promise. I will deliver you. How about this one? I will set you on high. Listen to this promise in Psalm 91. You will call upon me and I will answer. Now here's the thing. I could spend weeks just teaching on the amazing gifts in the promises and the blessings and the benefits that God has listed for you and I out of one psalm in the book of Psalms, out of just the 91st psalm. It is chock full. It's like Christmas just reading all of the gifts that God has available for all of us in one chapter. The first one that you read is in the first verse. And here's what the first verse says. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, here's the first promise right here, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Just got a few minutes left in this program today, so I just want to talk about this one promise and then tie this all together as this introduction to this program, as an introduction to this show. Now, here's this first promise. We shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You can skip by this and miss something right here. Let me break it down for you. Obviously, the Almighty is God. It's capital A. It denotes divinity. He is the Almighty. So it's saying that we shall abide under the shadow of God Himself. Abide means to live there, right? To lodge there. When you abide, you're in your abode. It is your permanent dwelling. It is the place where you stay. It's your house. So it's a fantastic thing that you start to see when you look at this promise. We shall make our house, make our dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty. What's this shadow thing about? Well, in the Old Testament, the shadow would often represent the shelter or protection. Shelter or protection. Here's what I think about when I look at this promise. I think about an umbrella. Now, if you were to imagine outside your window right now, it's raining cats and dogs. I mean, it is coming down. It is no small misting rain. I'm talking about a rain now. It's coming down, and you've got to get across the street. You got to walk across the street, so you know what you need to do. You reach over beside the door as you leave, and you pick up that umbrella.
Everybody knows what that's for. But what if we were to see somebody leave their home, raining cats and dogs, umbrella in their hand, and they walk across the street to the house across the street with it coming down like a deluge, and they're using that umbrella like a walking cane. Never open it up. Just every step they take, they put the umbrella down, and they're getting drenched and soaking wet the whole time they're walking across the street. They've got everything they need in their hand to protect them from the rain that's falling down, but they're not using it like an umbrella should be used. They're using it like a cane. We would look at that person. We would think, you're crazy, man. You've got all that you need to stay dry, to get across the road, and the storm not affect you, but you're walking with the umbrella, not using the umbrella. A couple of things we know about this umbrella. Number one, the umbrella does not stop the rainstorm from falling. The rain will fall even if you use it correctly. And we also know that an umbrella, the purpose of it is not to be used as a walking cane. What you're supposed to do with it is you open it up, you put it over your head, and you block the falling rain from getting you wet. Because if you use an umbrella correctly, it will shield and protect you from the effect of the storm. It doesn't stop the storm, doesn't stop the rain, but you can be shielded and protected from the storm that's raging around you if you are under the umbrella. Listen to this promise again. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow, under the protection, under the umbrella of the Almighty. Now, who doesn't want that promise? Alive and well and functioning in your life every day. To have access to God Almighty as your umbrella to shield you from the storms of life so that the rain may be falling all around, but you are walking high and dry under the protection of God Almighty. That is a fantastic promise. That is an amazing promise. But, and as we close, here is the final thought. In order to receive and live in the promises of Psalm 91, we have to meet the requirement. In order to have the umbrella of these promises shielding our lives from the storms that are raging around us, you've got to know what unlocks the door to the pantry. You've got to know how to access the promises that are available. And that's what this teaching series is going to be all about. Here's the way that you access the promises. You've got to understand what this means right here. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. That's the key that I want to teach you in the weeks to come. So when you come back next week, that's what we're going to get started on. Understanding the key to Psalm 91 that unlocks all the promises in this fantastic chapter. You've got to know how to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. So you come back next week, we're going to figure it out. And until then, keep seeking the truth.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas, 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.